Good evening and welcome to Local Motion, where we go in depth with local public affairs issues from around the KVNF listening area. I'm Laura Palmisano. May's massive landslide on the edge of the Grand Mesa near Colburn claimed the lives of three men. Geologists say landslides in western Colorado and the Rocky Mountain region are a normal occurrence because the earth is dynamic and erosion is happening all around us. I took a drive around Grand Mesa with a geologist to get a better understanding of why experts say the nature of the flat-topped mountain is to slide.
Nice to meet you.
You're not from Colorado?
I met Andres Oslon at the Visitor Center on Grand Mesa. He's a geologist and professor at Grand Mesa University.
So what is this?
So what I've brought with me is a satellite image of the entire region surrounding Grand Mesa. And what I just wanted to show you here is this pronged shaped feature is Grand Mesa. And this is the area that's capped then by these basalt flows, which are really the first step in today's story. It all begins with Grand Mesa. And Grand Mesa, as you can see here, is this flat feature that is capped by very resistant lava flows. And these lava flows formed 10 million years ago. And at the time when these lava flows were extruded, they probably filled ancient valleys similar to the present-day Grand Valley. So you can imagine maybe a lava flow filling in the Colorado River Valley from Palisade downstream to Fruta. And when those lava flows hardened, they formed this very resistant cap of rock such that subsequent erosion was focused on the areas around the lava flows and areas outside of the lava flows such that the surrounding valley walls were eroded away preferentially, leaving behind these resistant areas which today form the highest points in the landscape. So in a nutshell, what we're starting here on Grand Mesa is an ancient valley bottom that used to be the lowest point in the landscape 10 million years ago and is today the highest point in the landscape. And that's significant because that cap, that resistant cap that protects this area is responsible for a lot of the steep topography that we have today. In other words, without this cap, the slope angles would be less. That is part of the initial condition behind why you get large landslides such as we saw at Colburn.
We got into his SUV, so Oslon could explain to me the geology of the area as seen on a drive along the Grand Mesa Scenic Byway, better known as Highway 65.
As we're driving up the highway past these lakes out here, what kind of formations are we seeing?
Well, the lakes that exist on Grand Mesa are very important in today's discussion because unlike most places in Colorado, high elevation lakes in the Grand Mesa area are not related to glaciation. Whereas in most places in Colorado, when you see a lake at elevations of 10,000 feet and above, it almost 100% of the time is related to ancestral glaciation in that area. But instead, these lakes that populate the south and north flanks of Grand Mesa are related to huge landslides that have occurred in the past. Not recently, but probably on the order of tens of thousands of years to hundreds of thousands of years. But huge pieces of that basalt cap rock that marks the surface of Grand Mesa calves off from time to time. And as these huge blocks fall downhill, they basically create closed depressions on their uphill side that then fill in with surface water and groundwater, forming the present day lakes that we see and people come to fish and enjoy in the summertime. But it's a very unique situation to Grand Mesa that these lakes are all related to gigantic landslides and this general process of mass wasting.
What is mass wasting?
Mass wasting is the general movement of material downhill due to largely the effects of gravity. So when we talk about landslides and debris flows and rock falls and soil creep, all of these are processes that relate to material moving downhill due to gravity and are generically referred to as mass wasting. So Grand Mesa, in a nutshell, has a very long, long history of mass wasting. And again, it has to do, as we'll elaborate on today, the fact that you've got these steep slopes, which are controlled by this basalt cap rock. We've got lots of precipitation due to the high elevation, and we have geologic materials that lend themselves to slope failure.
Now, I've driven along this highway multiple times since I've moved to Colorado, and what I notice is parts of the highway are sunk in a little bit. There's lots of road repair. There's rocks on the highway. So what should people know if they're driving out here?
Well, what you're pointing out is very true, not just here in Grand Mesa, but all over Western Colorado. And the landscape is on the move. It's not static, even though we typically don't see it on the move. But there is small movement going on in lots of places at different times. So seeing evidence of instability in the land surface, or put another way, evidence of mass wasting, is to be expected. Hopefully, it doesn't occur when you're actually on the road, of course, but that does happen. I mean, we've had several major rockfall events in places like Glenwood Canyon. Some of those have ended up tragically as well. We have had lots of road closures in Western Colorado due to rock slides and movement of soil. Tibet Canyon comes to mind, Rim Rock Drive and Colorado National Monument. The Debec Canyon Plateau Creek Valley Road this past spring had a rockfall event. So these events are much more common than people generally realize. So that just, if you're going to experience geology in Western Colorado, chances are it's going to be associated with some sort of slope instability event, i.e. a mass wasting event.
We've stopped moving along. Where have we stopped?
So we've parked here on the north flank of Grand Mesa. So we're still in the basalt cap where we can see lava flows, but we have a beautiful view out to the north looking at two things. One, in the foreground, we can see a plateau that's roughly 1,000 feet below us. And that plateau is pockmarked by the lakes on the north flank of Grand Mesa, such as where South Mesa Lakes Lodge is located. And then in the farther distance, we can see the backside of the Book Cliffs and the Roan Cliffs. But I want to just focus for a minute on this foreground area, this 1,000-foot lower bench, if you will, that forms the north flank of Grand Mesa. And this bench we refer to as the landslide bench. And this landslide bench is just that. It basically represents material that has slid downhill from our present elevation, which is roughly 10,000 feet, to this lower level at roughly 9,000 feet. So all of this bench at one time used to be at the present level that we are sitting at here in this car. But through mass wasting processes, that material has slid downhill. And as it's done so, then the size, the area of Grand Mesa has progressively diminished. And when we look out onto this bench, we can see these lakes. And again, those lakes are there not because of necessarily because of glaciation, but largely because huge blocks of material have slid downhill to that elevation and have dammed up surface water and groundwater to form those lakes. The other thing that you can see in that landslide bench, even among the trees, there's a lot of bumpy, undulating topography. It's very irregular. You know, there are hills on the order of a few hundred feet spaced rather chaotically throughout that bench. And all of those hills represent landslide debris that has originated from up here and is part of many, many, many landslide events that have occurred to form this bumpy, irregular landscape. When all that landsliding occurred is unknown, to be honest. It would have certainly happened after 10 million years ago because it involves these lava flows that formed 10 million years ago. Most geologists would probably agree that a lot of this activity has probably occurred during the ice ages. We imagine in western Colorado during the ice ages that this area was significantly wetter than what we see today. And besides having steep slopes, another key ingredient, of course, for these kinds of landslide problems is water. So the more water on the landscape, the more activity. So in some ways, when I look at these landslide benches, I think to myself, in some ways, they are a relic of a past landscape where there was more water than what we see today. So in that sense, you know, when I think about the Colburn event, events like that were probably more commonplace at different times of the geologic history of Western Colorado, specifically during the ice ages.
What are the factors that make an area landslide prone? From what I understand, there's three factors that are typically taken into consideration.
Yeah, those would be the slopes or the topography. How steep is the topography? One. A second one would be the amount of water available, and that could be in the form of snow melt or rainfall. And three would be the nature of the geologic materials that underlie that landscape. And I'll elaborate on the geologic materials part. Is there clay in the bedrock in the vicinity of an area with steep slopes and lots of water present? If so, that makes that area much more prone to landslides. But the other piece is the amount of soil and the type of soil present. Because when we look on these landscapes, we're really just seeing trees and vegetation. We're not really seeing much in the way of actual bedrock. That bedrock may be buried anywhere from 10 feet to a few hundred feet of loose material. That loose material geologists refer to as surficial sediments. And those surficial sediments are unconsolidated, loose, and very prone to sliding. You know, you can imagine maybe loose material sliding downhill once it's wet on top of more rigid bedrock. So the amount of soil present, as well as the type of soil, in conjunction with the nature of the underlying bedrock, you know, is there clay? And that too is a variable. Not all clay is alike. There are expansive clays. Expansive clays are those that expand and shrink upon wetting and drying. And those are particularly unstable. So where you have a lot of expansive clays present, those can accentuate the likelihood of slope failure. Here we're coming up to South Mesa Lakes Lodge. So we're going to just park near the entrance to the lodge and take a look at the outcrop across the road from Mesa Lakes Lodge. Again, this is an example of one of these big blocks that has slid downhill, and we can see that expressed here a little bit better than elsewhere because there's less vegetation. Now here we are at Mesa Lakes Lodge, and we're going to just turn around here and park for a second and look ahead of us.
What am I looking at?
Yeah, what we're looking at here is a hill slope that has been exposed by erosion and probably when they built this road to some extent. And unlike most of the hill slopes on the landslide bench, the erosion and road activity has removed the vegetation. So instead of just looking at a hill mantled by trees, what we're looking at is a steeper slope which exposes brownish soil, lots of softball to tire size angular blocks of gray basalt. And then in several places, you can see that the basalt is more like an outcrop. It's more intact as opposed to individual class of basalts or individual boulders. And what this is showing us is that this at one time was one of those sequences of lava flows that originated from the top of Grand Mesa, which is roughly 1,000 feet above our heads right here, and that this material slid downhill to form this ridge. And the sliding would have been similar to the Colburn event in the sense that undoubtedly it would have been a function of the steep slopes of Grand Mesa, the large amounts of precipitation associated with this high elevation of Grand Mesa, and then importantly, even though we can't see it right here, the sliding would have been enabled by the fact that these basalt layers are underlain by these clay-rich rocks, the clay-rich rocks of the Green River Formation, and there's another clay-rich unit that actually doesn't have a formal name in our area. We refer to it generically as the Goodenough Formation, but it too would have been, it is clay-rich, and that clay-rich character coupled with water would allow that material to act as a slide plane for this material to slide downhill upon, as well as a failure plane to undermine the rock. So in other words, the way I envision these landslides occurring is that the basalt is being undermined by weaker rock, such that the weaker rock is failing that underlies the basalt, and that's carrying the basalt downhill along with it.
Where are we heading next?
From the top of Grand Mesa and the basalt cap, we'll be driving downhill onto the landslide bench. And as we do so, we're going to drive by some road cut exposures of the basalt layers, so you get to see what they look like when they're intact, so to speak. They have not slid down yet. But of course, these layers, which are on the edge of Grand Mesa, are going to be the next ones to go someday. The basalt layers are represented by this relatively dark gray, uniformly gray, fine-grained igneous rock. So this all used to be lava flows like what you would have seen in Hawaii that have hardened into a series of stacked layers. We're going to pull over here on the north side of 65 and park. We're kind of at the foothills of where Powderhorn Ski Resort is, and we're just going to take a look at the landscape both uphill and downhill of us.
What are we looking at?
Okay, what I want to do is just look uphill to the south, and from the road, what we're basically looking at on the horizon is the northern edge of the landslide bench. So the landslide bench, the edge would be marked by things like the old ski runs of Powderhorn.
I can clearly see those where there's no trees on that mountainside.
Mm-hmm. And you can see that there's some creeks that are draining those steeper slopes, and that those streams are going to eventually converge downhill into, you know, larger creeks and so on. So there's surface water affecting that slope. But the other thing I want to point out is the gentle sort of undulating nature of the slopes, particularly at the lower elevations. You sort of see these low mound or ridge-like geometries to the slopes. To me, those are all very characteristic of ancient debris flow slide slash mass wasting deposits. In other words, why we see these characteristic shapes to the topography, and by that I specifically mean the irregular nature of the topography, the fact that it undulates, that to me is a hallmark of ancient landslide debris. In fact, if we looked at geologic maps of this area, we undoubtedly would see virtually everything we're looking at as mapped as ancient landslide debris. I see much greater evidence of ancient landslides more similar to what we saw at Colburn. You know, Colburn was not one of these ancient basalt landslide events. Where Colburn is situated, it is not situated geologically near the basalt cap of Grand Mesa. Geologically, it is situated much more similar to what we're looking at here, the edge of the landslide bench. So in a way, envision that slope failing that we're looking at right now. That would be comparable to what you would see at Colburn. You've got a steep hillside or headwall, and that material would have slid downhill coupled with lots and lots of water. And the force of that material carrying downhill along with that water allowed that material to flow much, much, much more extensively than most smaller landslide features in our region. I suspect that it really was the amount of water present that made the difference between it being a small event that wouldn't have affected very large an area and probably not people, versus the size of the event that did occur, the amount of water present. And that water may have been groundwater as well as surface water related to precipitation in the region. And that water may have been accumulating for who knows how long. It may have not been just from this winter. It could have easily been from years, and saturating the soil and the geologic formations, that those clay-rich formations like the Green River Shale and the Goodenough Formation, saturating those rock units and triggering this very large-scale event. But what we're looking at here in the foreground are probably ancient examples of that same phenomenon. We don't see it in the sense that it's vegetated, but the manifestation of those ancient events is the topography, the irregularity, the lobe-like geometry of the landscape. So when I look now downhill on Route 65 towards Mesa and houses, you can see it's a very broad valley, and there are slopes that grade to the valley floor all around, but there's still bumps in the landscapes and irregularities, and all of those probably represent ancient mass wasting episodes, maybe not all in the same size and magnitude and as the Colburn event, but the cumulative effect is the same, in the sense that you've had material moving downhill over long periods of time, and that has basically shaped the valley bottom, which is now an area that is farmed and lived in.
As we're driving down Highway 65 and I look down towards the town of Mesa, I can see homes and property built on the base of the Grand Mesa. Are those homes at risk for natural disasters like mudslides, landslides, avalanches, just because they're at the base?
Well, in the broadest of senses, yes, because most of these homes are built on old landslide materials. So geology it repeats itself. History repeats itself from a geologic perspective. If an area has experienced slope problems, it's likely that they will eventually happen again. Whether or not it's going to be anytime soon is a completely different matter, though. In a very broad sense, I think of places like Mount Rainier. There are houses built on old volcanic mud flows along the perimeter of Mount Rainier. Are those homes at risk? If Mount Rainier were to erupt catastrophically, the answer is yes. But over the shorter period of time, it's much harder to say.
Now we're coming into the town of Mesa. What are we looking for?
Here at Mesa, the landscape is quite different from what we've seen further up valley. This is an agriculture area. People are farming. It's much flatter terrain. As the name of the town implies, Mesa, it's flat compared to everything else. And the reason it's flat is these areas are underlain by ancient river gravels, probably representing floods, perhaps even fed by melting glacial ice on Grand Mesa. And, here we're going to see a lot more of these boulders, such as we've saw uphill of us, but instead of being as chaotic, they'll be more rounded and there'll be less fine soil matrix. So this represents another end member of this mass wasting, namely floods. What may begin uphill as a mass wasting event or a debris flow event can end up downhill as a flood. And so as we move downhill from the top of Grand Mesa, seeing more evidence of ancient floods is to be expected. But the bottom line is that this area has a long and dynamic history, ranging from big blocks of basalt toppling down from the top of Grand Mesa to debris flows at lower elevations on the flanks of Grand Mesa to ancient floods at yet lower elevations. But what I would try and draw attention to here is that there's still lots of boulders. Proportionally, there's a little bit less soil, and the boulders are a little bit more round compared to what we've seen uphill of us. So all of these things are suggesting to us that these boulders were moved here by flowing water. A lot of the boulders are touching one another. And again, what may originate as a debris flow uphill can end up as a flood further downhill. So that's how these features are interpreted, and they typically form very flat surfaces and are a very common place for agricultural activity in western Colorado, these mesas underlain by these ancient flood deposits. You know, what we've essentially done is sort of seen the continuum, the end members of the geologic activity associated with Grand Mesa.
On our drive, Oslin repeatedly stressed there's evidence of landslides all over the Grand Mesa, and they're going to continue to happen until the mesa eventually erodes away. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. Stay tuned for As the Worm Turns coming up next.
Shaking in your mountain.